Parshas Bo. This is the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. V'ato omer lecha klal b'tam mitzvos rabo. Says the Ramban, I'm going to teach you now a klal in many, many mitzvos. Hine. Me'es he'eyos avodas kalilim ba'olam. From the time that avodah zarah started in the world, in the times of Enosh. He'chelu he'adeyos l'shtabish be'emunah. People started getting confused and making errors in Emunah. Mehem kofer meyek biker. Some of them were denying God completely. They were rejecting the Iker, the source of everything. The Omrim ki ha'olam kadmon. They were saying that the world is kadmon. What does that mean?
First.
It has always existed. The world has always existed. I believe the Platonists held this way. Plato. The world has always existed. And you're saying, like, that's such a crazy idea. Why is that such a crazy idea? Hashem's always existed. So, just like we believe Hashem always existed, so just say the world always existed. It's not such a crazy thing. We fundamentally accept that there are a thing that could exist forever. So maybe the world exists forever. So this was the view that many of the Rishonim were arguing with. And it's not this crazy view. But it's wrong. But it's not a crazy view. Kichshu b'Hashem. They said that there is no God. V'yomru lohu. U'mehem ma'chishim b'idiyasu ha'protis. And there are others who accepted that God exists, but they denied hashgacha protis. They denied individual providence. They denied that Hashem is involved in the world. He created the world, and he let it run, and he's moved on to other pursuits. They say, Eicha yado kel, how could God know? V'yesh deya be'elyon, does Hashem up above, is there any knowledge? That's group number two. And group number three, u'mehem, sheyodu b'yediya, they admitted that God knows, they certainly admitted that Hashem created the world, and that he exists. And they also accept that God knows, u'makhishim b'hashkocha, but they deny Hashkacha. They deny that Hashem is intimately involved in the world. Mashkiach, that he governs the world. He exists? Yes. He created the world? Yes. He knows what's going on here? Yes. But does he get involved? No. He keeps hands out. He doesn't hands off. He doesn't get involved. V'yasu adam kibgeyayom. Such an approach makes us just like the fish. Meaning, like, you have a bunch of fish that are just floating around, and we don't assume that Hashem is orchestrating the details of their life. So we're a bunch of like tegayim shlo yashkiach hakel behem ve'eni ma'am onesh oschar. They're like fish that there's certainly no schar ve'onesh for fish. A big fish eats a little fish, so it's not like he gets punished because he was so mean that he ate the little fish. That's just their life. There's no schar ve'onesh. Yomru, these people say, Ozav Hashem es aretz. God has forsaken the land. Meaning he's not involved. He's not here. V'kasher yirtza Elohim de'ed de'obi yachid. V'yaseim on mofes b'shinam minagosha o v'tivo. So now, how does Hashem combat those three kfirs? Those three different types of heretics who reject God or reject his involvement in the world. So when Hashem comes to an individual or to a group and he does an amazing nature-altering miracle. Shinoi minhogo shel olam b'tivo. And he changes the teva. Yizbarer l'kol. It makes it clear to everyone. Bintel hadeos ha'elakulam. It shows all of these thinkers that their approach is mistaken. Why? Ki ha'mofes ha'nivno morishesh l'olam eloka mechadsho. Because when you do a miracle, first of all, it shows that there's this power, this creative power, that can do anything. If we have a world, and everything in the world, you know, the oceans are always flowing, and they're very powerful, right? There's a tremendous amount of pressure. You realize, like, if you're underwater and you try to move your arm, it's hard. If you're, let's say if you wanted to push, you know, like, I don't mean move your arm just directly, but let's say you had a book, you wanted to push the book underwater. So it's hard, because there's pressure. So the water is very, very powerful. To just like go like this, it's not easy to split the water. But when Hashem came and he split the ocean, so first of all, he showed that he's all powerful and that he's the creator. V'yodeya, and he's mashkiach, and he's yochol, and he knows what's going on. He's intimately involved. If God comes down into your life and does something miraculous and saves you, so you see he exists. You see he has some type of tremendous power in this world. You see that he's involved in your life. Because look, he just did it. V'kasher yemofis ahumimzer tchila and al achas kamo v'kamo. If before it happens, Hashem tells you it's going to happen, so then it's also Mizbara Mithas and Navua. It also tells us that Navua is true. It solidifies for us our belief in Amuna. That Hashem speaks to people and that he reveals the secrets to the Nevi'im. And the truth is, it's really Mikayim in our eyes, call it Torah Kula. When you see with your own eyes a miracle, an overt miracle that breaks nature, not just like, oh my gosh, I won the lottery, the $1 billion Powerball. I won the lottery. Not only that, because that could happen. It's, someone has to win. We're talking about something that really changes everything. So it teaches, it shows us who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Let me give you a mashal, okay? It's going to be a little funny, but let me give you the mashal. Let's say, I remember hearing this mashal many, many years ago. Let's say that you meet me, and my arm is going like this. Like the first day you guys came to Shalavim, you walked into Shalavim, and I come into the classroom here, and you walk in, and you see me going like this. I'm like, oh, Shalom Aleichem, welcome to Shalavim. All right, we're going to start learning about Mitzvah. Everybody open up your Gemaras. And we start learning, and the entire shir, I'm spinning my hand over my head like this. So the first day, after shir, you want to be respectful, but you look at each other, and you're like, he's a pretty strange guy. He's sitting there swinging his arm over his head. Then I leave, and you see me drive away in my car. And as I'm driving, I'm going like this, swinging the arm over my head. You're like, okay. Then that night we have a little Zoom meeting. Sure enough, you come onto Zoom, and as soon as the Zoom screen pops up, I'm sitting here going like this with my arm. And it's just going over and over again. Fast forward, the entire year in Shalavim. You're sitting here every time you see me in Seder. You see me drive up in the morning. You see me here. You see me eating my salad lunch. And the arm is just spinning like this over the head nonstop. Fast forward. It's 3 years later. We haven't seen each other for 3 years. All of a sudden, you happen to be visiting Israel. And you're walking down a street in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And you see a guy up ahead of you walking. He doesn't see you. You're behind him. And he's on his way into Shul. And you're like, oh my gosh. You know who I think that is? And sure enough, my hand is spinning over my head like this. You follow me into shul, you see the entire davening, the hand just continues, and this is going on like this. And okay, it's 10 years later, and again, we bang into each other at a wedding, and I'm sitting there dancing in front of the chassan and kala, and the hand is spinning over the head. So at this point, you realize that I'm not doing this thoughtfully. Like, this is just like a spasm. This is just nature. This is just how I am. Just like I'm always breathing. So my hand is just always spinning. You just realize that. And then one day, 15 years from now, I'm like looking at you, and I'm saying like, I know you've always been. You always wanted to ask me about this arm thing, right? Well, let me just show you something. And then, boom! I'm back. I stop. I wave to you. I pause for a second. Maybe I spin it the other way a little bit. And then, boom! I'm back into spinning it the way I was. That 2 seconds of me stopping and going the other direction is what reveals to you that the whole time it was me. Meaning, after a while, you started to wonder, just sitting here in the room now for 5 minutes, like, is he able to stop? Or is this just nature? This is just happening. This is the Ramban's point. The Ramban's point is that something happens for long enough, and eventually we can really start to believe. I mean, if you guys were discussing it amongst yourselves, you would start saying, like, there's no way he's doing that on purpose. I mean, I saw him walking down the street. He had no idea I was there, and he was doing it. I saw him in bed. He was sleeping, and he was spinning the arm over his head. At a certain point, people start to forget that this is something that I'm doing on my own. And all you need is me to stop at 1 second, and you realize, oh, he's actually doing this with intent. He's actually controlling it. He's actually planning on doing it, or it's being done with thought. It's not just something that runs on its own. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that it's very easy to look at the world And eventually, you know, you see the sunrise, you see the sunset, you see the sunrise, see the sunset. You drop items, and every time you drop them, they fall. And you start to believe that gravity and the sunrise, it's just a system that's running on its own at this point. God's not involved. I don't see him being involved. I don't see him changing things. All you need is one drastic moment where there's this drastic change in creation, and you realize this thing is not running on its own. Says the Ramban, that is the yesod of the mitzvos of Mitzrayim. Vilochein, Yomar HaKosuv Dumovsin. That's why it says in the pasuk, by the Nisim. That's why it says, Leman Teda Ki Ani Hashem Bekerav Haaretz. The pasuk says, you know why I'm doing all of these makos? You know why I'm doing all these makos? Leman Teda Ki Ani Hashem Bekerav Haaretz. I want you to realize that I'm here. I'm Bekerav Haaretz. And that's Lahoros Al Hashkacha. That's the teach us Hashkacha. Hashem says, I'm doing these makos so that you realize I'm Bekerav Haaretz. I'm down here. I'm Bekerav Haaretz. I'm involved in the world. I'm down here. Don't think that it's just been left to nature. It's not left to nature. To mikrin, to happenstance. That's one pasuk it says by the Makos. Another pasuk. Leman teda ki lashem ha'aretz. So that you know that the land is mine. Lehoros alachidish. Teach us that Hashem created the world. Kihem shelo shebaro me'ayim. V'yomar by, and that's the second statement. And the third, we have another pasuk. Why am I bringing this makkah? Ba'avor teda ki ein kamoni b'chol haaretz. You should know there's nothing else like me. Nothing else in the world has the power like me. L'horas ala yecholas, to show his power. Shu shalit b'chol, he can rule everything. Ein ma'akev b'yado, there's nothing stopping him. Ki b'chol zeh hayu ha'mitzvim machishim ha'mistakim. Because the mitzvim either denied this, they doubt about these things. So they doubted that Hashem has Hashkach in the world. They doubted that he created the world. They doubted that he's all-powerful. And therefore, you see it explicitly in the Makos, that the Makos came to uproot these mistaken perspectives. I believe if you look in the Kli Yoker, in last week's Parsha, the Kli Yoker tries to show which Makos taught which of these principles. Not just like Stam, that the Makos taught these three principles, but that specific Makos taught specific things. Like, for instance, the fact, it doesn't say in the Pesukim that, you know, we all know the Midrashim about how, you know, when the Jew drank from the cup, so it wouldn't be blood, and when the Mitzri did, it was blood. It doesn't say that in the Pesukim, but it says it about certain Makos. Like, for instance, the animals during the Dever, so the animals of the Mitzrim died, and the animals of the Jews didn't die. So what does that show? That shows Hashkacha. Meaning, it doesn't show that he's powerful. Maybe like when the Barud comes down and the earth is shattering and you hear the crash, that shows Hashem's power. But the pestilence, the plague that kills certain animals and not others, the animals of all the Mitzrim are dying, and of the Jews are not, that shows that Hashem is Mashkiach in the world. He's involved. This is not just like a plague that happens to be getting the animals. No, it's directed hits. This animal, yes. That animal, no. This animal, yes. That animal, no. It shows the Hashkacha. U'bavork yekadosh baruch lo yase osam opis b'chol dor leinei kol rasho kofer. But since Hashem is not... Where's he coming from? Okay, so Hashem should just be doing miracles all the time. Because that way we always will be reminded of who he is and his power. And since Hashem is not going to do these crazy miracles like this, all the time, so that every Rosh and every Kofer sees it. But it's not Hashem's job. So every guy who decides he wants to be an Abikoros, Hashem has to bring a miracle in order to show him that he's wrong. So Yitzaba Usanu Shanasa Tamad Zikron Beosla Asher Ra'oei Neinu. But we saw it. Our great-grandparents saw it. And therefore, Hashem wants us to have constant reminders of what we saw. V'natik Adok El Baneinu B'neinu B'neim U'B'neinu L'dor Achro. And we want it to be passed down in our family tradition, generation to generation. V'hichmir ma'od b'inyin azeh. And it's so chomer. For instance, you know that most mitzvot aseh, there's only two mitzvot aseh that you get karis for. And one of them is achilas, excuse me, he's not talking right now about those aseh.
assays. Most assay. Therefore, for instance, achilas chametz, eat non-kosher food, eat non-kosher, eat pork, you get malchus. It's a lav. But the Torah, when it comes to achilas chametz, kares, azivas ha-pesach, also, v'hitzrich shenichtov koma shenira elenu, azivas ha-pesach means not doing, that's the one mitzvah, that's what I was making reference to a second ago. There are only two mitzvahs I say that if you don't do them, you get kares. What are they? Bris Milah. And, no, mitzvahs asay that if you don't do it, you get karis for not doing it. Karim Pesach. Karim Pesach and Bris Milah. So, why so machmir about Karim Pesach? Because this is the Yisod of Judaism. Hitzrich shenichta toma sheniri elenu v'otos moshin yalinu v'al b'nei nenu. And that's also why we're told, what do we wrap on our arms and our heads in our tefillin? What partials are in our tefillin? Shema. Shema that describes...
It's
Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Why? B'lichdov oso od al pischei abatim b'mezuzos. So what else do we, where else do we put it? On our doorposts. V'nazkir zev b'finu b'boker b'erev. We also have to say Kriya Shema every, with our lips, every morning and every night. K'mo shamru emes v'yatzev d'oraisa. How do we know? Because it says, v'man tizkor so tizkor so tizkor so kol yamei chayecha. U'shinasa sukkah b'chal shana. Why do we build a sukkah? So he says also to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. So why do we have so many mitzvahs that are Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim?
This.
Exactly. Why do we have it? In order so that we, everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, we have reminders of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And why do we always want to have reminders of Yitzias Mitzrayim? To always remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and that He has the power. And that's why there's so many mitzvos that are zechel yitzias mitzrayim. The hakol yosvanu b'chol hadoros edus b'mokshim shlo yishtaku. And it's all supposed to be there edus for us that we shouldn't forget. And therefore, there should never be room for a kofer to be able to deny. You're going to deny. You know what my great grandparents saw? You know what's always on my mind? Because you know what our family? We have a family tradition. Do you know what our family saw? Ki akona mezuzah. What a beautiful line. Listen to this. Someone who buys a mezuzah, bezuzecha, for $100. Not a lot of money. $50. He buys a mezuzah. A small amount of money. Bekavo bepischo. And he hangs it up on his doorpost. Beneskavim beinyana. And he has the right intention. Right? You have this idea. You just walk by and give it a kiss. It's not about kissing. It's about thinking about it. We kiss it is in order to be cognizant of it. But it's about, you know, you can like point that and give like a little like that also. Because it's not about touching it, it's not about kissing it. It's about internalizing it. So what a beautiful idea, says the Ramban. With the $50 that it costs to put the mezuzah up on your door, you're already, when you walk into the door today and you look at the mezuzah, you're a hodah b'chiddush olam. You're being molded that Hashem created the world. Ubi yediyas habore, and is hashkacha, v'gam b'nevuah, and your mamim b'chol pinos ha-Torah, milvad shehote shechesed habore gadol me'od, al osir etzono. And forget the fact that you're also reminding yourself that Kadosh Baruch Hu does tremendous chesed for those who keep his mitzvos, because he was motzi osir me'abdus v'cheirus, and he was a covered gadol, this comes up oseyem ha-chfeitzim yir ha-shemo. And he kept his promise to the Avos, because the Avos, all they wanted to do was keep the Ratzon Hashem. All of that you do every time you look at a mezuzah. Or you should be. You should be doing it. You should have in mind. Ulafika. And that's why we're told. Have yizayir b'mitzvah talakim b'chamura. That's why every mitzvah is so precious. Kulam chamudos v'chavivos ma'od. They're all so important, so valuable. Shebechol shah adam moda b'hem l'lokav. Because every mitzvah we do is a declaration of our Amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about it. Every time you do a mitzvah, you're basically saying, I believe that Hashem exists. I believe that He created us. I believe He has a mission for us. And that's why I'm doing this. The Kavanos Kol HaMitzvos. What a statement by the Ramban. And the intent of all of the mitzvos is to be help us internalize Shenamin Belokeinu V'noda Elov Shuborenu. That we should admit, we should proclaim, we should affirm that He is our Creator. That's why we are here. We are here to be beings that profess and affirm
who God is.
We don't have any other good explanation of why Hashem created us. The aim El Elyon Chofetz B'Tachtonim Milvad Shiyeda Adam. What is Hashem's first and most primary demand of us? What does He want from us? What does He want? That we should be Modeh Lelokav Shebaro. That we should realize and admit and state that He is our Creator. Listen to this. V'Kavonos Romos Hakol. And this is the intention when we raise our voices in Tefillah. The Kavanos Pate Kinesios. And why we go to Shul. And Tefillos HaRabim. Why do we do all of that? Why do we go to Shul? Why do we scream Yehi Shmei Rabba? Why do we respond to Baruch Hu? All of these things. Why? Zeo Sheol Ibnei Adam Makom. It's that we should have a place. She Yiskabtsu V'yodu L'Kel Shebonah. Hashem told us to build shuls and daven in a minyan so that we could have a place for us to do why we are here, which is what? To proclaim who Hashem is, that we are His avodim. V'imtzium yafarsmu zeh, v'yomru l'fonim, so that we can finally just call out to Him and say, b'riosecha anachnu. We are your creations. We know you created us. We are your creations. V'zeh kamanosim v'mesh omru, v'yikru el elokim b'chazaka, that Yonah cried out to Hashem. Mikana talamid shetfilah tzricha kol. From here you see that davening requires a voice. You need to call out to Hashem in davening. Umin anisim agedolim amafursamim. And this is probably the most famous part of the Ramban. Up until now you're thinking like, wow, this is a pretty, it's a nice Ramban. It's a good Ramban. It's an amazing Ramban. But the best is yet to come. This paragraph is the most famous part of the Ramban. When people say, oh, you know the Ramban, the end of Bo, they actually don't mean everything we read until now. Everything we read until now has been one great point after another about the Makos and about what they were coming to prove and about why we daven and about why we have so many mitzvos. But this next part is the most famous part of the Ramban. Fasten your seatbelt. You ready? Uminanisim agedolim amifursamim. And from these famous, overt, well-publicized, supernatural miracles. Umin anisim agedolim amafursamim, adam mode benisim hanistarim, shehem yisod hatayra kula. By witnessing and internalizing the supernatural miracles, by realizing and recognizing that who God is, and that He has the power to act beyond nature, a person comes to internalize the hidden miracles, which are the basis of the entire Torah. She'ein, and this is, if this is the most famous paragraph, this is the most famous line in the paragraph. She'ein la'adun chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. This is probably the most famous line in all of the Ramban's writings. It might even be one of the most, if not the most famous line, in all of the writings of the Rishonim. And I kid you not. Umin hanisim she'en lo'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. A person has no shaychus to Torah ad shenamin b'chol divreinu mikreinu, until we believe about everything that occurs to us, about everything. Shekula nisim, they're all miracles. Ein b'em teva min hodol shel olam. It's not teva. It's not just the way of the world. Bein b'rab and bein b'yachid. Whether we mean it on a national level or we mean it on an individual level. Ela, im yase ha-mitzvos, yatzlichenu scharo. If we do the mitzvos, Hashem will give us schar. Let me interject. The Ramban elsewhere, in a couple of other places in his parish, asks the $1 million question. We say every day in Shema something which seems like it's just not true. We say that if we do the mitzvos, in the paragraph of Hayam, Hayom Shemoa, if you listen to the mitzvot, what will Hashem do? I will give you your rain at the right time. You will be prosperous. I have a question. What brings rain? Is it putting on tefillin? Or is it the atmosphere having precipitation in it and the winds? And obviously it's the second. What in the world do we mean? Are we fooling ourselves? If we do the mitzvos, Hashem's going to reward us. There'll be rain, it'll give us the Shmaya, we'll have parnasa, we'll have health. It's not where health comes from. Health doesn't come from putting on tefillin or shaking palm branches on Sukkos. Health comes from eating healthy and genetic makeup. So says the Ramban, what do you see from the fact that the Torah promises us that if we do mitzvos, he's going to give us health and prosperity? What you see is that with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not operate with the normal teva. He doesn't operate with the normal natural consequences or sequences of events. Because if so, how could he promise us that if we put on tefillin, we're going to get prosperous, we're going to get health? Rather, the only way he can give us health and prosperity by doing mitzvos is if he does something which is outside of nature, something miraculous. But it's a nes nister. Why is it a nes nister? Because it's not like splitting the sea. It's not like if you do the mitzvahs, you walk out one day and $100 bills just fall from the sky and all the Gentiles are sitting there raking their leaves and you're raking Benjamins and you collect them all and put them in your pocket and you say like, ah, good thing I'm not a Gentile. I'd be raking leaves. I got all these dollar bills instead. It doesn't work that way. So how does it work? It works through nisim nistarim. If you do mitzvos, so Hashem makes it that you do the mitzvos, so you made an investment, investment works out, you work hard, you get a raise, chas v'shalom, somebody is sick, but they get to the doctor at the right time, they find the problem, they deal with it. Hashem works everything out, but it's through nature, meaning it's a nes nister. Why is it a nes nister? Because nobody can tell. Nobody can see from the outside. If your business happens to work out, a lot of people's businesses work out. It's not a nes galui. But that's the yesod of the Torah kula. Because Hashem doesn't say those if you keep the mitzvos, dollar bills will fall from the heavens. Hashem says, if you do the mitzvos, you'll be prosperous, I'll give you health. So says the Ramban, a person doesn't have a sheichus to Torah unless he realizes that everything that happens to us, it's nisim, it's hashkacha. If we're doing well, Hashem gives us blessing. If we're not doing well, so Hashem works things out. Again, his mod amku machshav osechel. It's not that if I do a mitzvah today, so tomorrow I'm going to make $1 million, and if I speak Lashon Hara now, I'm going to get hit by lightning, God forbid, 2 minutes later. It could be 30 years later. It could be 100 years later. There's many, many different factors. But says the Ramban, Abraham tevu min hagol shalolim, bein merabim bein biyachid, ella im yase ha-mitzvos, if you do the mitzvos, yatzlichen ischaru. V'im yavor aleihem, yachrisenu ancho. And if we do the aveiras, so Hashem will punish us. Hakol b'gzeiras elyon kasher iskarti kfar. You have to realize, you live in a natural world. And for sure, the famous chinuch that he writes by the mitzvah of Makkeh, the probably less famous but equally powerful words of Rabbeinu Bechai in his introduction to Parsha Shlach. We live in a world of teva. We have to follow the rules of teva. We have to go to doctors. We have to get vaccinated. We have to follow all the rules of nature. You can't do things and expect miracles. And at the same time, though, even though that's our field, to live in the world of teva, we have to realize that with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works through nisim, but nisim nistarim. V'yisparsimu anisim anistarim, binyan harabim, kasher yavo b'yudei ator, binyan habrachu tzvakot lo. K'mo shomar hakosu, v'imru kol agoyim, al maya asa Hashem koch l'aretz hazos. It's an amazing thing. You know when the nisim nistarim become revealed? They become revealed at a time period when all of Klal Yisrael is following the mitzvot. Because when you have one person who follows the mitzvot and he gets the rain, and someone else doesn't follow the mitzvot, he doesn't get the rain, so everything's hidden. When our nation is complete and everyone is serving Hashem, and we're all working on it, and we're all getting blessed, then at a certain point, right, you throw a dice, you go into a casino. Not that you should go into a casino. But if you go into a casino and you throw the dice and you get double sixes and you win, is that a miracle? Now, it might be, because it could be that out of nature, the way you threw it, should have been a 5 and a 4. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it into a 6 and a 6. Since Nisan the Star, he wanted you to make that 20,000. But if a bunch of nice Jewish boys walk in, first guy goes, he rolls double six. Next guy, double six. Next guy, double six. Next guy, double six. So either they're cheating, Or the dice only have sixes on them, right? That's the other possibility. Or,
very good.
Or, there's a miracle going on here. There's a miracle. Because how can this, right? Imagine like a Jew throws it, a nice Ben Torah throws it, and gets double sixes. And then a Gentile throws it, and it's a five and a four. And then a Jew throws it, and it's double sixes. And then a Gentile throws it, and it's a two and a three. And then a Jew throws. So, again, at a certain point, we either say, okay, these Jews are cheating somehow. Or there's some miracle going on here. Right? You look at some of the miracles that took place in 1948, 1967. Why do people say, oh, it's miraculous? What is miraculous? There's strategy, and there's armies, and there's lot. Yeah, but, I mean, how many miracles can happen one after the other where you can stop and say, like, this is not miraculous? It's not miraculous. It's not like the Arab armies that surrounded, and then all of a sudden, like, angels fell from heaven, or, like, you know, boulders fell and killed all the Arab armies, and it just happened to miss the Jews. That would be miraculous. That would be l'malam in Teva. It was Teva. It was battles. We lost people. It wasn't the... But at a certain point, consistency starts to show the miracles. The Amor v'kiyam v'ro ka'am e'aretz k'shem Hashem nikor alach v'yirum y'mekam. And the nations will see, and they will see the name of Hashem on you. So that's the goal. The end game, the eventual goal, is that we'll all be such Ovei Hashem that Hashem will give miracle to this person and to that person and to that person. Till a certain point, those Nisim Nistarim will turn into Nisim Gluyim just by the nature of their consistency. But until that happens, every person who wants a Shaychus the Torah has to internalize this Yisod of the Ramban. That everything that happens to us in our personal life, every person here should feel that they have this very unique and personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to look in your life and realize, like, Hashem has been with me at every step of the way. And I see that the more mitzvos I do, the more hatzlacha I'm feeling. And when I sin, and when I'm in a bad place, things aren't going as well. And you have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that with you. And even though we need to live in Teva, and we have to keep doing Teva things, we can never rely on a nace. We have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not leaving us to Teva, but that the things that happen to us are all a fulfillment of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, that if we follow the mitzvot, so He'll be there for us. And Amir Tzashem, we should all internalize this, and it should inspire us through forever to live lives of conspiration and dedication to Avodas Hashem.